following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
I invite you to open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 3, where we'll be this morning. This one working or not? Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you have your Bibles this morning, that's where we'll be. Title of this message is A Restless Moment in Your Life. We are in a sermon series. It's all about not necessarily finding your calling, but when your calling finds you. Your calling may be a parent, a teacher, Sunday school teacher. You may be called into a bivocational ministry. You may be called to be sold out and completely into a vocational ministry of some sort. I just don't know what the Lord has in store for you in your life. And so my life, and we'll be reflecting on that throughout this series, is how the Lord dealt with me, how the Lord called me, some of the things I was looking at in the particular time when the Lord called me into my ministry that I'm in now. And so we're not always necessarily looking for something extra to do. Particularly, we are not looking specifically for something that the Lord wants us to do. The Bible clearly says that there is no one who pursues after the Lord. There is no one who seeks him. We've all gone our own way. But there are times in our life when we have, like Moses had last week, a burning bush experience. We know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Lord is speaking to us. He's speaking to us clearly in a way that we've never experienced before. That's what happened in Moses' life when he was on the backside of the wilderness. He saw something in particular at 80 years old that he had never experienced before in his life. So we go to the flip side of that today, not necessarily someone who is up in age, but someone who is just beginning their life, the young boy Samuel. Samuel, most believe, was only 12 years old when he received his calling as a prophet from the Lord, one of the greatest prophets that the nation of Israel had. But I want to start off revisiting something. On Wednesday nights, we are studying the book of Joshua, and just a few weeks ago, we got into chapter 1. I want to read to you a few things that the Lord promised to Joshua, some in particular about meditating on the law of the Lord. In your calling for the Lord, in your pursuit of the Lord, this goes far beyond just having a daily quiet time, but finding something that the Lord is speaking to you about, maybe a troubled passage or a verse that you are wrestling with, that you are struggling with. Are you pondering on that day in and day out? Is that something that is constantly on your mind? If you have your Bibles this morning, Joshua chapter 1, turn over to it real quick for just a moment. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. There's something that in particular that the Lord told Joshua as he was calling him out. Several promises that the Lord gave him. The main was that no matter where you go, no matter where you're at, I will be with you. And he starts off in verse 5 is where we'll pick up at in Joshua chapter 1. He tells Joshua this. Joshua was a warrior. He was a general. He was equipped for battle. And he told him this. He said, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may be able to observe to do to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth." And here it is. "But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Father God, we thank you so much for these promises that are in your word. And Lord, I thank you that you are still calling out young men and young women to serve you with their lives. I pray, Lord God, if there's anyone here today that is wrestling with a calling, wrestling with a particular nudge that you are giving them, Lord God, to serve you in some capacity, whether it be volunteer, whether it be vocational, no matter what the case is, Lord God. But most importantly, if there's someone here who's wrestling with a salvation decision, if they've never accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, if they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that there's something in their life that is not in line with your word and your promises and what you want them to do, I just pray that today would be the day that they would surrender their all, that they would stand up and say, Lord, I hear you speaking to me, and Lord, today I surrender my life to you. I pray, Lord God, that as they begin on that journey, you will guide them every step of the way. And just like Joshua, you would give them courage to stand up, to answer your call, and to make a decision, Lord God, to follow you with their lives. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. A restless moment in your life. We've all experienced them at some point in time, whether it be someone that we are thinking about entering into a relationship with, whether it be marriage, a friendship of some sort. Maybe it's a big purchase that you're talking about, or maybe an investment in your life, a financial investment. There are things in our lives, there are moments in our lives when we all have this time, this season of restlessness. We're struggling with a decision. We don't know which way to go. We're asking the Lord questions. Maybe we're digging into his word. Maybe we're seeking his word. As I look at the life of Samuel, Samuel was dedicated to the Lord from birth. He had taken the vow of a Nazarite. He had particular ways about him throughout his life that he adhered to. But we see here that Samuel was not necessarily with his earthly father when he received the call, but there was another man who had come along beside him to mentor him. This man's name was Eli. Eli had a very, very important part in Samuel's calling. Last week we talked about Moses and his relationship that he had with his father-in-law Jethro. He was working for his father Jethro, and we even see after Moses led the Israelites of Egypt into the wilderness, Jethro came to him and continued to mentor him and give him some sound advice. Well, we see this as well in Samuel's life as well. Samuel, most believe, was 12 years old at this time of his calling in chapter 3. And this man by the name of Eli, God is actually giving Eli a second chance. But the situation for Israel, as we see, we're going to read in this first part of the passage, no new revelation. The Lord wasn't speaking. He hadn't raised up a prophet in quite some time. As a matter of fact, Israel was going away from the Lord. They were in a rebellious state. And all of a sudden, the Lord raises up one of the strongest prophets that the nation of Israel ever knew. Most of the times when we have these restless moments in our lives, most of the times when the Lord is speaking to us louder and clearer than we've ever experienced before, it seems like that we are in a hopeless, desperate situation. 1 Samuel chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. In other words, God had gotten completely silent on them. They were used to the Lord speaking through Moses as a prophet. They had seen all of the miracles, the crossing of the Red Sea, the crossing of the Jordan, the walls of Jericho falling down. But at this point in time, God had just gone completely silent on them. Now, for those of you who are married, what happens whenever your spouse all of a sudden quits talking to you? Some of you say, all right, man, that's what I've been waiting for. But I've heard this said before. I've heard this said that a quiet man is usually a thinking man, but a quiet woman is usually angry. So when you have a relationship with someone and all of a sudden that person turns silent on you, you have to think something's not right. Something's wrong. We've had a good relationship up until this point. What have I done, or what has that person done to cause this silence? And so it seemed like it was a hopeless situation for the nation of Israel. No prophet was raised up. No new revelation. God wasn't giving them any direction. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. And so it came to pass that at the time when Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes began to grow dim, that he could not see, and before the lamp of the God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of the God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here I am." So he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." And he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. So here's the thing that I want you to learn. We typically hear from God when the clearest, when the situation seems hopeless. Why is that? Because it is in those times when we are listening for a word from the Lord. In those times when it seems like our life is falling apart, there is no hope, there is no help, God has grown silent on us, we usually tune in a lot more attentively in those hopeless times in our lives. Moses was 80 years old last week when we looked at his story, this situation here. Samuel was 12 years old. Maybe as a young boy, he doesn't realize the hopeless situation that Israel is in. Sometimes God's calling comes to us early in life. Some people I know who have served the Lord in ministry all throughout their years, 35, 40 years of ministry serving the Lord, they knew that calling was there early on in life. Sometimes God's calling comes to us early in life. Sometimes we hear it early in life, yet it takes a long time to discern and respond to that calling. But sometimes God doesn't call a person until later in their life. However, there are no restrictions on age when it comes to God calling a man or a woman into service for Him. There are no restrictions on age when it comes to God's calling and equipping and using and sending those He chooses. The Apostle Paul writes to his young protege by the name of Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you want to write this down, verses 12 through 16, or you can turn there and read along with me. Here's what the Apostle Paul tells to Timothy. Obviously, Timothy was struggling with his own youthful age, ministering to people who are way older than him. Paul tells him this. He says, "Look, let no one despise your youth, but be an example of the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." And here it is again in verse 15. "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you." Some people have an issue when a young preacher comes along. The Lord has His hand mightily upon them, and they put their bumpers up and say, "I'm not going to have no young punk preacher telling me what to do." But here we have this 12-year-old boy that the Lord is raising up. He has shown Himself mightily, and when there was a time when there was absolutely no revelation, God had grown silent, the situation was hopeless, all of a sudden the Lord calls out this young boy, "Samuel, I want you." Samuel is not familiar with this voice, and he goes to Eli for advice. He says, I think you've called me. I think I've heard your voice. But Eli knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that this was not him calling Samuel. Now, the name Samuel itself means heard or asked of God or appointed by God. After Moses had passed away, all the years of the judges, Samuel was actually the earliest recorded prophet after the time of Moses. Here's the ironic part about the situation that we're looking at here. When you go back and read chapter 2 of 1 Samuel, you'll see a little bit of background of what's going on with Eli and his two sons. The most ironic part about Samuel's calling was that the man that the Lord used to mentor Samuel, this priest by the name of Eli, he considered himself to be a failure of a parent. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 22 through 25, we read of Samuel's two sons, Phinehas and Hophni. They were not godly young men. They were driven by sexual desires, so much so that the scripture clearly states that the Lord desired to kill them. Here's the irony of the situation. Eli's an older man. He has two younger sons that are living ungodly lives. Eli thinks that he has missed the mark. Eli thinks that he is a failure as a parent, but all of a sudden God gives him one more chance to do something great. Eli, I want you to pour into the life of Samuel. I want you to mentor him. I'm calling Samuel to be a prophet, and I want to use you to help him negotiate through this time in his life and understand what it is that I'm doing in his life. Eli was feeling like a failure of a parent. But the Lord gave him one more chance, and the Lord used him to mentor one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're listening to me through our online service. Maybe you think there is no hope for you to be used by God. Let me tell you personally, don't think that. We serve a God of second chances. God does not discriminate by color. God does not discriminate by age. God does not discriminate by abilities. He will take anyone. He will use the least likely. He will take those who think that there is absolutely no hope of being used by the Lord, and he will do great and mighty things. The Lord's looking for one thing. He's looking for an obedient heart. And God gives Eli this second chance. Eli, You missed it with Phinehas and Hophni. You can't control them. Maybe it was something that Eli did or did not do. Maybe it was just Phinehas and Hophni being rebellious. We don't know. But God says, don't worry about that. Turn your attention to Samuel and watch what I'm doing and help him along. The second thing that we notice is that Samuel's calling came when the word of the Lord was rare. There was no widespread revelation. Do you see just how hopeless this situation is? Eli's sons were deep in sin. Eli felt like a failure. God had gone silent, but all of a sudden God showed up when the situation was at its worst. And God used Eli when Eli thought that he would never, ever be used again. However, here's what he remained faithful in. He remained faithful in the small things. Remember last week when we was talking about Moses? Moses was just doing the mundane things, the everyday things of life. He was being faithful in the small things, and God used him for great things. It's the same thing with Eli and Samuel here. They were being faithful. They were there in the house of the Lord. They were taking care of the things that they were committed to doing. And all of a sudden, God shows up one night and begins speaking to this young boy, Samuel. Just when it seemed that the situation couldn't get any worse, God shows up. Samuel has a restless night. He has a night when he can't sleep because God keeps tugging at his heart and speaking to him. Unfortunately, it's human nature to seek God the most when it seems like life is at its worst. I'll give you a few examples. The disciples, that night on the Sea of Galilee in the worst storm that they had experienced, their senses were tuned in when Jesus came to them on the water. They were crying out for help. They were in their worst situation that they had ever experienced when they saw Jesus. All the disciples were in the upper room after Jesus had died. They thought there was no hope. The religious leaders are going to come and get us. They're going to take us away. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit fell upon them when the situation seemed like it couldn't get any worse. in the belly of the great fish, Jonah cried out to the Lord when he was at the lowest point in his life. The prodigal son, he was down in the pig pen eating slop before he looked up to heaven and said, I must go back to my father's house. It's human nature for us to reach the lowest part in our life. When the situation seems like it can't get any worse, when it seems like there is no hope, unfortunately, that's the time when we turn to the Lord and seek Him the most. Eli was lying in his place. His eyes had grown dim. He could not see, and all of a sudden, God begins to speak to a little boy. Both Eli and Samuel were having trouble sleeping that night. And that's usually when God speaks the clearest. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm laying in the bed at night and I know everybody else is asleep, if my doors are locked, nobody else is stirring, and all of a sudden I hear an unfamiliar voice calling my name, that's going to get a little bit creepy. If I hear an unfamiliar voice calling my name, probably the next sound that you're going to hear is ch-ch. An indistinguishable sound that is known throughout the world. But can you just imagine both of these guys, they think it's the end of the day. God hasn't spoken. There is no new revelation. No new prophet has been raised up. And then all of a sudden, this little boy Samuel hears somebody calling his name, and he thinks it's Eli. Look at what happens next. Neither one of them can get any sleep this night. Then the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli. And he said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Eli, and he said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. And that's exactly why you need a mentor in your life. That's why you need a strong Christian man or a strong Christian woman to help you discern those things that you have questions about. I've read this scripture time and time again. Can you please tell me what the Bible is saying when it says this? I've been praying. I keep getting the same answer over and over and over. Who is that person you go to who's been in the trenches, who's being used mightily by the Lord, that you can go and get advice from? Samuel went to Eli, and all of a sudden, Eli began to relive those years of his life when the Lord had spoken to him. Perhaps he had a situation like this take place in his life at some point in time. Perhaps he had mentored someone else. We just don't know. But Eli had enough wisdom to know, I didn't call his name. There's nobody else around here. There's only one person that it could be. This young boy, Samuel, has been dedicated to the Lord by his mom. We know what he's going to be doing for the rest of his life. I think this is the time that the Lord is calling out to him. So here's point number two. To ensure he has our undivided attention, God will often create times when we are restless. You just think that it's something else that's keeping you up at night. But maybe, just maybe, the Lord is trying to reveal something to you. Maybe it's to help you out with a decision. Maybe it's to help you out with a direction. Maybe it's something that you don't know about yet, and he's trying to give you a little foresight as to what to do and how to prepare for that. So what do you do when you read through a passage in the Bible that just doesn't quite make sense to you? What do you do when you feel like God is doing something in your life, or maybe he's putting something on your radar and you can't make out exactly what it is? There are two types of revelation when we talk about the Lord speaking to us. There's a general revelation. God speaks to us through the events in our life, indirectly, just things that we should know about. But there are special revelations as well that the Lord will enlighten us through his scripture and through his word. Those are when the times when the Lord is speaking directly to us. Being able to hear from the Lord also has a lot to do with the intentional position you're putting yourself in as well. Think about this. Eli's two sons, Phinehas and Hophni, they are outside the temple, conducting themselves in an ungodly manner. They were pursuing their sexual desires, and they were not pursuing the will of the Lord. Whereas Eli and Samuel were inside the temple, serving the Lord with their lives. And that explains why Eli and Samuel were dealing with this calling and Phinehas and Hophni were not. So are there times in your life when you're feeling frustrated, when you're feeling disturbed, when you're unable to rest easily at night? Perhaps those are times when you should be getting up and studying God's word instead of trying to go back to sleep. Let me just ask you this question. What is it right now that you're meditating on? What is it that occupies the thoughts in your mind more constantly than anything else? What is it that you are consumed with that constantly fills your mind and occupies your time? Last week on the cover of the bulletin, we had a verse, Psalms chapter 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. I want to invite you to join me to Psalm 19. I want to read some things out of that chapter that pertain to what we're talking about in a very important way. Psalm chapter 19. Here's the general revelation right there in verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Down in verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Is that something that you're meditating on right now? The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. We see the general revelation. We see the power of God's word. But we also see the wisdom for those who fear God, beginning in verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Are you having a hard time finding joy right now in your life? Well, what is it that you're meditating on? What is it that you're pondering on? What is it that's causing you to be restless all the time? The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Boy, if you want some clarity in your life, you don't need clarity. You need the word of God, because it says right here that it'll enlighten your eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Not only does it bring wisdom, not only does it bring joy, not only does it bring clarity, but the word of God lasts forever. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and keeping in them there is great reward. Verse 13, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Guess what? If the word of God has dominion over your life, none of those other things will. And then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. And then we get to verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. The things that Phinehas and Hophni were thinking about were not acceptable to the Lord. They were an abomination to the Lord. And the Lord actually said, I want to kill these two because of what they're doing. Whereas Eli and Samuel were doing what was pleasing to the Lord. And the Lord wanted to speak to them, and it caused them to have a restless night where they couldn't, neither one of them could get any sleep. Here's what meditating on God's word will do for a person. If you're meditating on God's word, guess what? If you have an area of your life that is unpleasing, God will make you restless with conviction over the sin in that matter. If you're meditating on God's word. If someone is pursuing a particular path, God will make them restless until they have the answer. If you're grasping at something, God, what is it that you want me to do? I'm struggling with this decision. Would you please help me with it? Eventually, if you are pursuing the Lord and meditating on his word enough, he's going to give you clarity in that area. If you're heading into a direction that you should not be going, God will give you a warning on that as well, and he'll make you restless. He will allow you to not get any sleep to let you know you are on a destructive path, and if you don't stop now, the results aren't going to be good. But also, if there's a message that you should be giving to someone else or some other group of people, God will make you restless during that time as well. So are you having trouble sleeping at night? Can you just not get a good feeling about something that's going on? Look, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, it's not your bladder. It's not your dog's fault. It's not your noisy neighbor's fault. God may be using those things to make you restless simply because he wants to spend some time with you. Maybe he wants to warn you about something. Maybe he wants to take you in a different direction of your life. Neither one of these two guys could get sleep because the Lord had something to say to them. And I know you're going to find this surprising, but most of you are like me. You're kind of thick-skulled. And the Lord has to speak to you more than once for you to really get tuned in to what he's trying to say. So the first time Samuel thought Eli was talking to him, Samuel said, no, it wasn't me. The second time the Lord said it again, Samuel, and Samuel went to Eli. Finally, on the third time, Eli caught on to what was going on. And it was then that he gave him some advice. He called Samuel one more time, but this time, just like he did Moses in the burning bush experience, he called his name not just once, but twice. Verse 10, now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. But before that happened, Eli gave Samuel the most valuable information he could give him. Eli said to Samuel, look, go lie down. It's not me calling you. But if you hear this voice again, you just submit to it. If you hear the voice again calling your name, just say, speak, for your servant is listening. And that's exactly what Samuel did. The Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. That's what leads us to point number three. When you do hear God's voice, what is your response? When we fully submit with a humble and obedient spirit, God's calling and message will be doubtless. There will be no doubt whatsoever that it is the Lord speaking to you, that this is the direction he wants you to go in, this is the message that he has for you, or this is the message that he has for someone in your life as well. And the message that the Lord gives to Samuel is not a good one. Most of the time when the Lord sent a prophet to Israel, the message was not a pleasant one. But they knew they had to be faithful to God's word and deliver that message just the way God gave it to them. Watch what happens when the Lord finally speaks to him. Samuel says, speak, for your servant hears. I submit to you. I want to be obedient to your calling. I want to do exactly what it says you're telling me to do. Some people aren't going to like it. Some people aren't going to appreciate it. Some people aren't going to understand it. But if this is where you're calling me, Lord, this is what I want to do. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile, and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. In other words, Samuel, in order for Israel to go on, I've got to do some house cleaning. There's some iniquity that's getting in the way. There's some sin that other people are bringing upon Israel, a judgment that's going to come from me. And before we go on any further, before I can take you any further in your prophetic life, I've got to do a little bit of holy house cleaning. I know the sins that Eli's sons are committing, and I've got to take care of that. And Samuel, you're the man who has to go and tell Eli what I'm fixing to do. Boy, how would you like to be a little 12-year-old boy going to an elderly man telling him that message? That's just how faithful these prophets were. Some of you leave out of here sometimes and you say, boy, preacher, you stepped on my toes today. I'm sorry, that's my job. And most of the times, no, I'm not reading your mail. I don't know what's going on in your personal life. I don't know what you've been looking at. I don't know what you've been drinking. I don't know what you've been thinking. I don't know what you've been smoking. All I know is God has given me a message, and I've got to be faithful to proclaim it no matter what it is. And that's the same way these prophets were as well. The messages that he gave to each and every one of them was not pleasant, but they were faithful to proclaim it. So look at what Samuel did. He thinks about this a lot more. He didn't go right then and tell Eli. He knew this wasn't going to be well received. He didn't know how Eli was going to accept this word. He went and he lay down till morning. And it wasn't until morning that he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. That's the reason I went back and read Joshua chapter 1 to you. Because what did God continue to tell Joshua? Be of good courage. Be strong. Fear not, for I am with you. If God gives you a message to tell someone, you better go tell it. And you better go with the assurance that God is going to be with you. What we need to do is we need to be obedient to God and let him handle the results. We're not in control. He is. Samuel went back. He opened the doors. He was afraid to tell Eli. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son, he said, here I am. Eli wants to know. He knows that the Lord told him something. He knew exactly what was going on. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me of all the things that he said to you. Then Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him, and he said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. There was no doubt in Samuel's mind that it was the Lord speaking to him, and there was no doubt in Samuel's mind the message that the Lord had, and there was no doubt in Eli's mind either that the message he had was probably not going to be a warm, fuzzy message. He said, let the Lord do what seems good to him. I know I messed up. And I know that there are consequences to my sin. I know what my sons are doing. But I also know what the Lord is doing in your life, Samuel. Be faithful and true to what God has told you to do. This message that the Lord gave to Samuel, he said, look, everyone who hears it, boy, their ears are going to be burning. They're going to tingle. You know what? There are some preachers out there today that try to tickle the ears of their hearers with a good, pleasing message, a sugar-coated gospel. You're not going to hear that from me. If God tells me something that's unpleasant and he says, you better deliver this message, whether you want to hear it or not, it's coming. Just get ready for it. But the Apostle Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, there's going to be a time coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to hear only what they want to hear. In this case of Samuel in chapter 3, there are two types of individuals. One group did not and could not hear from the Lord because of their vile disobedience. They didn't want to hear from the Lord. They wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to go their own way. But the other group was dedicated to the Lord. And it was Eli and Samuel were the only ones who were being faithful that put themselves in a position to intentionally hear what the Lord had to say to them and through them. And I mentioned this last week. Here's something that Adrian Rogers used to always say. God only does business with those who mean business. This business about me trying to get you to intentionally have a quiet time, that is me helping you put yourself in a position to hear what God has to say to you. Because I can't tell you what God wants to do with your life. I can see some of the things that he's shaping and molding and transforming you to be. But as far as specifically what God wants you to do in your life, for you and your family, for you and your relationships, I can't do that. Only you can do that. And what I can do is I can help you put yourself into a position. And that's what Eli was doing with Samuel. He's saying, Samuel, look, I think it's the Lord listening to you. Go back, lie down again. God will confirm it if it is. He was coaching him the whole time, and he was putting Samuel in a position to where he could clearly hear from the Lord. And the message that Samuel got from the Lord was not anything that Eli really wanted to hear. But he was anxious to hear. I need to hear it. I want to change. I want to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. Samuel, don't hold nothing back. Give it all to me right now. There's no doubt in my mind that God is giving you a message, and I need to hear it. And Eli knew that that message was undeniable. If you want to know without a doubt what God has to say to you, the attitude is found back in verse 10. If you didn't highlight, if you didn't circle that verse, if you didn't put a star by it or something, you better put an underline or something beside those words that Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. You've got to have an obedient, submissive spirit to hear clearly from the Lord. Speak, for your servant hears. Right now, today, in your life, have you fully submitted to the Lord? And when you go to the Word of God, do you go regularly with a humble spirit? God, I'm excited to hear from you today, but even if you say something that I really don't want to hear, Lord, I accept it, I receive it, and I want to be obedient to follow through whatever it is that you're asking me to do. Right now, are you doing business with the Lord? It could be that your future depends on it. It could be that someone else's future depends on it. Look at what happened to Samuel. Samuel submitted to the Lord. He was coached by Eli. He clearly got a word from the Lord. He didn't hold anything back. He was faithful to produce the word and present it to Eli. Verse 19, let's look at what happened to Samuel. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then the Lord appeared again to Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Right now, are you able to hear from the Lord? Beyond the shadow of a doubt, are you able to lay your head down on the pillow at night? Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Lord, I've been talking a lot today. I've been praying a lot. I've been asking a lot of things, but right now is the time for me to get quiet. I want you to speak to me, Lord. Speak to my heart in a way that I've never experienced before. It may cause you to stay up all night. It may cause you to toss and turn and wrestle with your pillow. You may run your spouse out of the bed because they don't want to be around you while you're doing all that. But those are the times when God speaks the loudest, as when we can put everything else out of our mind. We can forget about all the worries and the care of the world. We can forget about all the burdens that we've been carrying for many, many days. And we can say, God, I've gotten into your word. I've got something here that I think you're trying to speak to me. But right now, as I lay my head down on the pillow, don't let me sleep until you've spoken to my heart. Maybe you're here today, you're wrestling with some habitual sin. Maybe there's some roadblock standing in your way to where you can't hear the Lord. Or maybe right now the Lord is screaming at the top of his lungs, you got something in your life that you need to get rid of. Maybe he's saying, come to this altar right now and repent of that so we can do business together. Are you growing in the Lord in a way to where you can discern his voice above all the other noise in your life? Or is it going to take a restless moment in your life for him to really get a hold of you and speak to you in a way that you've never experienced before? John Ortberg wrote a book called God is Closer Than You Think, and in it he talked about spiritual growth. And he says this, he says, spiritual growth in a sense is simply increasing our capacity to experience the presence of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a few moments. Are you being totally obedient to what the Lord is calling you to do? Charles Stanley used to always say this. He used to always say that partial obedience is total disobedience. And just the way Samuel did, when the Lord said his name twice, speak, for your servant is listening. Perhaps God is speaking to you this morning in a way that you've never experienced before. Perhaps the Lord is tugging at your heart. Maybe there's a certain area of ministry here at this church that he wants you to be involved in. Maybe you're struggling with those three names to nominate for the committee on committees. Maybe there's someone in your life that you see going in a wrong direction and there's a message you need to speak to them and you know it's not going to be easy. These altars are open right now. This invitation time is a time for you to do business with the Lord. But maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, Brother Tracy, I just don't have a relationship with the Lord. I have no clue what you've been talking about. I've never experienced his voice. I've never experienced his presence. I don't know who Jesus is. Let me just tell you this. Jesus is the greatest friend that you'll ever have. He's a friend that will never leave you nor forsake you. He's a friend that when all your other friends run out, he stays there. He's closer than a brother. And right now he's in this place because the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is in the midst of them. But the one thing Jesus did that nobody else can do is he died for your sins. He became your substitute on the cross of Calvary. The wrath of God was poured out on him. And Jesus paid the sin debt of all mankind. Salvation is a free gift that comes through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that gift must be received by those who are willing. John chapter 1, verse 12 says that as many as received him, to those he gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who call upon his name. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, right now, can you think of a time in your life when you knelt down on your knees, bowed your head, submitted to the Lord, confessed your sins, repented of everything that you have done, and accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ's shed blood? If not, I want to give you that opportunity today. First thing you got to do is you've got to admit that you have a sin problem. You can't be saved from something until you know that you need to be saved. You've got to know that you need a Savior for you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The next thing you have to do is believe. Believe that Jesus Christ is a substitute for your sin. And then you've got to confess that sin and commit your life to Him. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." To begin a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is as simple as just bowing your head and in your heart saying, "God, I know that I've sinned. I know that I've done wrong, and I want that to change. Lord, I turn my back on my old way of life, and I want you to give me a new life. I repent of my sins. I ask you to forgive me. And right now I'm trusting in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I want to live for Him for the rest of my life. I commit my life to Him to do whatever He asks me to do and go wherever He asks me to go." And that, my friend, begins your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just the very first step to a long, long, lifelong journey. So if you prayed that prayer, if you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you want to know more about how to become a Christian, in just a moment when the music begins, when we all stand, I challenge you to step out of that pew and step down this aisle. Take me by the hand and just say, "Brother Tracy, tell me more about trusting in Jesus." Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We commit this time to you. And we just pray, Lord God, that you would guide us and prepare us for what lies ahead. Lord, if there's anyone here who is struggling with a salvation decision, if they don't know for sure where they'll spend eternity, I pray that they'll leave this place this morning, Lord God, with the confidence of knowing that God is their Father, Jesus is their Savior, and heaven is their home. And that this would be a family for them to join here at First Baptist Church. But Lord, if there's anyone who's struggling with a calling, if you're speaking to their heart, if they need clarity, Lord God, I pray that they would come and just seek your will in whatever it is that they're struggling with. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.